North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? How many of you guys enjoyed that little video of Pastor Andrew's dismount, right? I'm telling you, I was there to see it live, and it was spectacular. So, hey, I feel like coming back from a sabbatical, I need to reintroduce myself to my own congregation, right? So my first tendency is probably to say, where have you guys been? Why have you not been in church? And then I realized, no, it was me that was gone. So with that said, I wanted to just give a quick shout out to the staff here at North Rock who have been doing a phenomenal job taking care of everything that God's doing in the midst of the community of our church. We've had an Echo graduation since I've been gone. We've had a couple of missions teams go out since I've been gone, and a whole lot of fun that's happened. And to be honest with you, my kids kept asking, Dad, when can we go back to church? And after a couple of weeks, they were like thinking I was in trouble or something. Like this wasn't self-imposed. This was imposed upon me. They're like, Dad, when are they going to allow you to go back to your church, right? And so the answer is today. Today is the day that I get to come back. Yeah, so, we are going to be talking in our new series, or it's new to me, it's probably not new to you, it's been going for a couple of weeks now, this series talking about how we recreate, right? How it is that God recreates his work in the midst of us as we recreate. You know, it's funny, when you work with a wordsmith like Andrew, early on in our sermon plannings of our series, he asks a lot of questions that sometimes I just don't want to address because I'm busy, right? And so he says, so is it recreate or is it recreate? And my answer to him was, yes, it is. It is. And you'll understand that a little bit more as I share a little bit of what God has been teaching me as I've learned to rest and get off of the treadmill of what we call life. Anybody else identify with that metaphor? That sometimes we can just keep going and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And that it's healthy for us. And in fact, my argument today is that God cares so much about our resting. In fact, he cares about it as much as he does any other spiritual discipline that we have. How many of you guys believe that with me this morning? Yeah. So what I can tell you is that as your pastor, I have to confess, I really stink at resting. Like, bad. And that's why I had to be gone so long. Because it took a little while for me to kind of detox from the schedule, to really look at the rhythms of my life, my work schedule, and my life schedule. And so from that, the Lord's given me a few things that I hope will encourage you because he's been encouraging me with it. So if you will, let's pray and let's jump into his word today. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to rest and to practice our Sabbath. Again, Sabbath is resting in you. It's setting aside time to honor you. And it's really there not just for your honor, but for our benefit. And so, Lord, even as we rush into services today, Lord, I pray that you would give us your peace. Lord, I pray that you would give us your joy. Lord, we pray that we would experience a renewing and a refilling of our spiritual lives as a community of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the title of my message, as you can see up there from my cool tree design. By the way, I do have to make one note. I have never run Prezi in my life. It's one of the things that happens when pastors go away from their church for a while. You empower millennials who really are tech savvy, and they come back and say, you can't look at your notes anymore. You have to hold this. Okay? So if I fumble around a little bit, don't blame the pastor. Blame the this. Okay? Whatever this is, the controller, the whatever it is, all right? So, again, the premise of my talk today is that I want to establish for us that stewarding the lives that God has given us, stewarding the purposes that God has for us, is far more than just taking off a day here and there. It's far more than just going on vacation. It's far more than just recreating in this beautiful state of Colorado, right? How many of you guys think Colorado is the best place to live in the whole entire world, right? It's beautiful. And in fact, you know, I'm so excited to see a full sanctuary in the middle of July because most people are up on a mountain or at a lake or doing something else this morning. So God bless you guys for being here in the middle of the summer, right? So my goal is for us to experience radical rest and renewal, which I believe is what God's idea was when he told us the Sabbath. So if you'll go back with me to the beginning of everything, right? The creation story, Genesis. When God created everything, it says that on the seventh day, he did what? He rested, right? So he modeled this behavior. He modeled this rhythm of work life and rest life. So it wasn't just that he modeled it. I think about what it must have been like for Adam and Eve to experience that. Because the way I think of the story, the way that I live my life, is that I work, and then I rest. Right? That I can tend to overcompensate. I can tend to overwork. I can tend to try to get further, faster than we should ever go. Anybody else suffer from that disease? Yeah, that's me. Okay? And I always think about when I read this story, like, man was right alongside of God this whole time working. But the truth is, he created them at the end of it to name everything. They did a little work, and then they got to experience the Sabbath. They got to experience the rest that God had designed for their life. Isn't that a cool thing? To me, it's not a big shift, but it's a shift in my mind to remember that you get to rest as a gift from God and not just because you need it because you're getting ready to blow up, right? So I got to be honest with you, as the pastor of this church, I've been connected to this congregation for 21 years now, but I came back to be the lead pastor here almost 2 years ago now. And in my re-entry, I had all kinds of vision, all kinds of dreams, all kinds of things that I knew that God had spoken over this church from years and years past that I was going to see us get done in the first year. And by golly, I tried. You work and you do what you can do, right? And so there's a little verse in Psalm 23 that I've never really read this way before, but it spoke to me in this season when I knew that God was shutting it down, pressing pause in your pastor's life so that he could get off of his own adrenaline addiction, okay? And it's Psalm 23, and you guys know it opens with, God has given me everything I need. I lack nothing, right? And the very next line, he says, I make you lay down in green pastures. And normally I'm so busy, I'm thinking, all right, I lack nothing. Praise God, I claim that, right? Who wants to claim that this morning, right? I lack nothing, Lord. And then I want the green pastures because I know that represents his blessing and that represents having all things that I need for all things that he's asking me to do. And then I go back and reverse the sentence a little bit and go, he makes me lie down. He makes me lie down. It's part of his shaping of my life that makes me rest in the midst of my life. See, I'm all for spiritual disciplines of Bible reading. We're all for that stuff, right? Prayer, worship, you know, all the things that we try to ramp up more and more and more and more in church. But this idea of rest was something I wasn't doing a very good job of modeling or living out. And so God has brought correction to that, and we're going to try to, you know, your pastor's going to try to be a little more chill, okay? That's what this is all about. Pastor's going to be a little more chill, a little less uptight, a little less go, okay? So anyway, God models rest. And the question that I want to address with you today is, does God care about our rest and renewal? Does he care about it? And if he cares about it, how can we know that he cares about it? I've already shown you one illustration of that in the way that he designed the week, in the way that he designed the rhythm of his work and rest life. But how many of you guys remember the Ten Commandments, right? In the first service, like, they thought I called them for a test. Like, they all just went, oh, because I think they thought I was going to call them out and make them recite them or something, right? So, but when it comes to the Ten Commandments, we usually think of, like, the big uglies first, right? I got to admit to you as the pastor, I probably operate more like the 9 commandments and the one really good suggestion when it comes to this idea of Sabbathing, okay? That's just confessions of a pastor. That's what happens when you come to a church. That's all you hear about how God's dealing with your pastor, right? And so, you know, the do not murder people, yep, I got that. And I get that, smart, Lord. Yeah, let's not do that, right? Do not lie, do not covet. And then there's this thing to honor the Sabbath. And so that was part of what God's been doing with me. The idea of taking a sabbatical is an extended period of time where you just stop and you focus and you look back in and you get new insights into the lives that we're leading. And I'm very blessed, very thankful for the church council, the congregation here that's been supportive of me taking that time off that I needed. Because to be honest with you, I'm not very good at resting. And so it took a long time to actually get rest. But we got there, okay? So we see it in creation story. We see God show that he cares about this topic as much as he cares about any topic in our lives in the Ten Commandments. And then we see Jesus talk about this idea of rest and renewal as well. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. If you don't have one, I've got a beautifully designed slide back here. That my lovely wife, Jody, helped me put together today because I don't know how to do Prezi. So Jody, thank you, thank you, thank you. But this is Jesus' words, and he says, are you tired? He asks the question, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. And work with me, watch how I do it. Again, there's that modeling. It says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Turn to somebody today and say, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, when your pastor says that, he really means it. So turn to somebody, right, and say, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. How many of you guys want to live in that sweet spot in your life, right? Yeah, not tired, not pressing, but we also know that we all have different rhythms that I'm going to talk about in just a minute. But Jesus' plan is for those that would follow him, those that would live life in him, that they would live a life of unforced rhythms and grace. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Okay? It's a powerful statement, isn't it? It caused me to kind of check myself to stop what was going on and to say, okay, Lord, how well am I doing in this? How well am I staying in the rhythms of the life that you have given to me? So truth of the matter is we're all wired differently in this place. So we all approach this idea, this subject of rest from a different perspective, right? But I think if I pulled the room, the majority of us would probably agree that setting a life goal to be a couch potato is probably not what God had in mind when he gave us a purpose and a plan for our lives, right? It's like, I'm going to be the best couch potato in the entire world. Yeah. I'm a lazy boy it all my life, every day, forever, right? We'd all say that's probably as big a mistake in stewarding and managing the life and the resources that God entrusts to us in our lives as the opposite side, the spectrum, where we just work all the time. Can I just tell you, it is really difficult when God has delivered you from being a workaholic to get off of that treadmill. Why? Because usually there's some incentivization for doing good, right? There's usually some incentivization for working hard and going the extra mile. And you guys have all the same quotes, okay? Well, when you're a pastor, one of the ways that I had subtly begun to work too hard rather than just hard enough is that I had a little mantra, a little quote that I'd tell myself and I'd use it to motivate other people. And I'm not going to look at anybody in the room because I know that they've heard it from me a couple of times. And it's simply this: pray like it all depends on God and work like it all depends on you. Right? Sounds spiritual. Oh, yes. Pray like it all depends on God, right? And work. Well, truth of the matter is, God doesn't need our help. He invites us into what he's doing, but he doesn't need us to accomplish what he wants to do. And when I say that to you, all you're hearing is what God's been saying to me for the last 2 months. Okay, so he's been working in me. He's helping me remember that we all approach it from a different place, that we want to live in that sweet spot of the rhythms of grace that being in Jesus' presence allows for us to experience, right? Isn't that, I mean, when you read that text, Doesn't it reinforce that? That it really is Jesus as our rest. That's what the author of Hebrews says, right? That Jesus is our rest. My friend Tom Edwards, the theologian amongst our 9 o'clock service, or one of the many theologians amongst our 9 o'clock service, came and reminded me, says, yeah, you know, the idea of this rest that they're talking about is the gospel. And so what we're talking about today is how do we order our lives in a way that it's not too much rest and not enough work, and not too much work and not enough rest. How many of you guys are glad when you read your Bibles that there are people in it that mess it up too, right? So your pastor messes it up. Here's a great story in Luke chapter 10 of Mary and Martha. You guys, if you know the story, you remember the story that in Jesus' earthly ministry, he's walking through doing his ministry. Mary and Martha are two sisters. Martha walks up to Jesus and says, Jesus, would you come to our house? We would be honored if you would come and stay with us. And so he says, yeah, let's go. Let's do that. I love that he took the time to do that in the midst of a very busy ministry schedule, right? I mean, Jesus had some stuff to accomplish, didn't he? And so he stops, he goes to their house, and what ends up happening is that Mary, the other sister, sits down with Jesus and just hangs out and just listens to his teaching and just learns from him and just sits in the grace and the peace and the wisdom of what he has for her. Meanwhile, Martha is running around like a chicken with her head cut off, right? I think I got this picture. I think that's the actual Martha. Okay, maybe not. That's probably not Martha, but I think we can all identify with the picture up there, right? Where there's so many things pulling us in so many directions that we can get a little stressed out at times, right? So that's what happens. And Martha, you can imagine running around trying to set the table, make sure Jesus is taken care of, making sure that the house is clean. How many of you guys ever entertain and you know that you can't have people over if the house isn't completely clean, even though it's not representative of how we actually live in it, right? And so she's running around doing that, and she gets so blustered, so frustrated. Now, I'm not talking about my house, Jody. I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, that we could probably have people over without it looking like a showroom. I'm just saying. Moving on, okay? Yeah, and then I think I jumped right back into it, you know? But to continue the story, Martha becomes so frustrated with this, she goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, would you tell her to help me? Would you tell her to do this? And I love his response. It's so seasoned with grace and yet so strong to her. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried about so many things. You're worried about so many things, and she has chosen the better. She has chosen the best, right? And so that story, as, you know, a high D driver, hardworking guy, used to really tick me off. Because Marthas need to pull their weight, right? Marthas need to do what they need to do to help everybody else and everybody else working, right? Or the Marys do, right? And so in this season, I'm seeing again that reminder. That reminder that you and I, we, Mary and Martha, no matter where you're at on this, we worry about so many things that we really don't need to care. We really don't need to worry about. So again, please pray for your pastor that I'll be a little more chill this year. So if you see me getting uptight and running too hard, acting a little, you know, blah, 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 just say, hey, remember, chill. Chill, okay? So again, we're all hardwired with different rhythms. So what happens when we commit to this idea that God had of Sabbath rest? What happens? What does God do? And what do we do? Two things I want to talk about today. First is we have to concentrate on what God does, right? Because if we concentrate on what God does first in Jesus, there's really not a whole lot left for us to worry about. But what do we do? What does God do when we rest, when we Sabbath, when we recognize that we don't have to keep the pace that we keep telling ourselves we have to keep? First thing is he reveals his strength and his power. How many of you guys today know that our God is an all-powerful God? Now, I looked up the word all-powerful in the Greek, in the Hebrew, and it means all-powerful. Isn't that awesome? I love when that happens that way, right? Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31 says, he gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Or they will not faint, right? How many of you guys here today would readily ask for that promise over our lives, right? Good news is that Jesus accomplished that for us. Okay, and so some of you guys are linear thinkers, and so you're really tweaking on me right now. You're freaking out that I've got a picture of a guy in a motor cart, right? Go-kart, right? Because it doesn't illustrate that very well, does it? See, I put that up there because it gives me good imagery of what life can be like if we don't stop and remember that God's all-powerful. I love to go to the go-kart races. Any of y'all want to go race? I want to go race you. I love doing it. It's awesome. It's fun. Except for there's one frustration. There's one problem with go-kart racing here in the Colorado area is that they don't allow you to go as fast as you can go. Right? And you guys understand that they put governors on those things so you don't flip it or run it off out into the street or something like that. That's your pastor's personality. I get frustrated when I hammer on the gas and I'm racing everybody because I feel like I'm in a race even if I'm not in go-karts. I just got to be honest. But when I'm in a go-kart, I don't like that I mash the gas and it goes. I mean, that thing should take off like 0 to 60 in like 2.1 seconds, right? It doesn't, though. So the reason I put that up there is because, to me, a good simple metaphor for this idea of paying attention to whether I'm resting in God's power is that idea of a governor on my life. And I got to be honest with you, I'm coming out of a season where I'd allowed a little bit of weariness to enter into my body, when a little bit of discouragement had entered into my body, a little bit of frustration had entered into my life, and I began to see these things percolating in ways that weren't healthy. And so that's that reminder that when we rest in God, when we trust his strength and his power in us, that it's like go-kart racing without a governor on it. And that's how I want to live. Full tank, right? How many of you guys have seen that picture before on a long drive through Kansas or New Mexico or Wyoming or South Dakota? Our territory as a district is all those long roads with like one gas station in each state. Okay? So I've been in that situation. It's a very frustrating thing to see when you're driving and you don't have it. How many of you guys know your prayer life gets a lot better, though, when you're out on the road and you see that pop up? Bing, 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 bing. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, Jesus. All right? I know I'm at a 1/32nd of a tank, but I know you can bring me another 50 miles, right? Yeah. Truth of the matter is, far too many of us live our lives like that. How far can I get on a quarter tank? How far can I get on a 16th of a tank, right? When Jesus' hope, his desire, his plan, his dream, his desire for us is that we would all live with full tanks in Christ. Amen? I've got a good friend named Gary Donahue, who is currently the senior pastor of James and Terry Kraft. You guys met them a couple of weeks ago. How many of you guys appreciated them? Yeah, good folks. He does some coaching and mentoring in my life, and I remember him asking me while I was in the middle of that master's program I finished a couple of years ago, asked me the question. He says, Chad, I wonder what it might look like to see a Chad with a full tank. What could that look like? And it like blew my mind because I'm going, what are you talking about? My job's to empty the tank. It's his job to fill it, and I just keep emptying it. He fills up, fit. But you know, you can get out of those rhythms, right? And so that's what I'm wrestling with us today, is that big question. Does God care? And if so, how do we know how? And because he cares, how then can we choose to live more with the tank full rather than empty, right? Because to me, a good working definition of what we read in the promise that Jesus gave us, this whole idea of a rhythm of grace, is living with full tanks and finding our rest and our renewal in Jesus. To be in his presence is to be full. That's the way it's designed, right? It's good. So okay, we know what God does. We're going to rest in that. We're going to trust him to give his power. We're going to trust him to do what he does. And so what do? Two things that I've experienced over this sabbatical. And that is, one, we receive recreated perceptions. How many of you guys with me, you don't have to raise your hands, can affirm that we can wrestle with stinking thinking sometimes. to where some of the ideas, some of just the volatility of our culture, sometimes, you know, the people rub us the wrong way, and you know, and we start to just kind of circle in our heads, right? Well, again, one of the things that we do as God restores us, as we receive his renewing grace, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So as we wait on the Lord, as we go to his word, as we spend time worshiping him and just hanging with him, we bring all of those thoughts and we submit them under the authority of Christ. Okay? I love that imagery. Take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. Make it obedient to Christ. Second thing that we do is that we bring our sorrow, our weariness to the Lord so that he can give us his strength. How many of you guys know that God doesn't release strength in our lives unless we're aware that we need it and we ask for it, right? I love that the psalmist does that. He's so humble. He just says, my soul is weary with sorrow. How many of you guys know that there's some sorrowful events that have hit us in recent months? A lot of them. And I can feel that weight. And I know that God's plan for us is that we would come and we would refill. Just like going to that gas station, we would come and get refilled. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. So what do? We receive recreated perceptions, okay? Why is that important? Because the second thing that we do is that we receive a recreated perspective, right? Do you guys know if my perceptions are stinking thinking that my the way that I project the future is going to be a little stilted? It's going to be a little bit, you know, negative, right? So we receive recreated perspective. Mark Buchanan says that in our busyness, it makes us stop caring about what we really care about. That's one of the things that God's trying to adjust in my life. And I don't know if any of you guys are aware, but we are in the midst of something that's called a Pokemon Go phenomenon, okay? So I'm just going to say those were the millennials, okay, that you just heard going, woo! And then there's some of us with gray hair like me that go, a what? In fact, I was trying to talk to some people, I'm not going to name who it was, in our congregation about it, and they said, you said Pokemon. I said, is that a problem? Is that wrong? But Pokemon Go is a game. I can't even tell you what's going on in it, but I think that I'm going to illustrate it with this video real quick. But I wanted to, before I do that, I wanted to just say thank you to all the people that are here because you were chasing a Pokemon this morning, right? It's like people have lost complete perspective of life because of this game. In fact, so much that there are stories of people who have walked off cliffs looking at that thing going, ah, or gotten hit by cars because they're so focused on finding the Pokemon, whatevers, right? In fact, this week I was prepping, I was praying, I was spending time with Jesus out on a patio eating lunch over at my district job, and a little girl, probably 7 or 8 years old, comes walking from the parking lot across the grass and up into the area that I'm eating and stops about this far from my table. And so I'm eating my salad, and I just looked up at her, and she was real shocked, took a big step back. And she says, she didn't say anything. She just looked a little bit freaked out. And I said, chasing a Pokemon Go? She's like, yeah, okay, it's all right. She left, right? But I'm going to show you a picture. For those of you that aren't millennials that don't understand that illustration, I'm going to illustrate it with something more from our generation. And that's a guy named Mr. Bean who is learning how to follow GPS. So let's roll that.
How big home, old home, yeah. Voyez, les toits de blanc et ces maisons rouillées. La mer chante, garçon, la mer.
So all of that simply to illustrate that if you found a Pokemon Go, a really rare one this morning, we're glad that you came here to do that, okay? But the purpose of the metaphor, the purpose of the picture, the purpose of that video is to remind us that we can all lose perspective, that we can all live with a skewed perception of who God says we are and what he wants to do in our lives. And as your pastor, I have to confess to you that I have also been there and continue to wrestle with those perceptions, right? How many of you guys know we learn things from God in different seasons with different challenges that we got to relearn in another season, another way, another stage, right? His grace, his rhythms of grace are so good to us. But the reminder of being in church today is that he intends for you to live, intends for me to live, he intends for us to live in the rhythms of grace that he's provided. Amen? If you don't know what that looks like, I got one more verse. I'm going to ask Ben to come up to close us in worship. And I want to talk about one more promise that reinforces this idea of how much God wants us to live in his strength with his perception of who we are and what he's called us to do. Psalm 73, verses 26 through 28 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are afar off from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all of your deeds." So, when we get alone with the Lord, when we rest in him, when we Sabbath in him, when we recognize that his strength is available at a moment's notice, with or without a vacation schedule with it, our perceptions change and our perspectives are shifted to remember that the God of the universe, the all-powerful God, is leading your life and has good things for you. He has good things for us. Some of them we've talked about today. And so as we close, as we reflect, because that's always the goal of preaching, right? It's not just to be entertained, but it's to allow the word of God to penetrate our hearts and to move us to a new place in our walk with him. I want us to just wrestle with that question. Does God care about your rest? And if so, what do the rhythms of grace look like for you? What adjustments might Jesus be asking you to make sure that we're not grumblers in this world, but rather we're experiencing the joy, the peace, the love, the kindness, and the long-suffering that he has for us. Let's pray. Let's sit before the Lord, and then let's enter into worship, and I'll come up and close us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you care for your children so much that you embedded a rest and a renewal rhythm in our lives before we ever knew we needed it. And Father, we confess before you that we can all be a little bit too busy. We can all be a little bit focused on the results, the outcomes, the where we're trying to get to, and forget that the whole goal is to rest in you, to walk in rhythm with your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, today, where we find those that are weary, I pray you would bring strength. Lord, I pray that where we find ourselves discouraged, Lord, that you would bring courage. Lord, where we find ourselves tired, Lord, you would bring life and energy and vitality and strength, because that's who you are and that's who we trust you to be in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Oh, God, you are good. Can you take just a moment and would you just confess loud enough for your own ears to hear those very words? It is well with my soul. Lord, we thank you for the refreshing, the renewing, the pouring out of your spirit in our lives, even as we rest and we renew in our Sabbath day here with you. We thank you, Lord, that your grace and your rhythms of grace carry us forward. That it's your strength that we leave this place in, and that, Lord, it's your desire that we would live full of your joy, full of your spirit, full of the strength that you have for us. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I really identify with that whole Martha thing. I think I might be suffering from a little bit of Martha-itis this morning. If that's you here today, I pray that Jesus would show himself faithful to be your rest. Pray that he would give you insights into the rhythms of your work and your rest and your play that brings vitality and life and health and strength in Jesus' name. And maybe you're here today and you just say, Pastor Chad, I've never experienced this idea of rest. I've done vacation. I've slept. I've done the couch potato thing. But that isn't what you're talking about today. You know, the Bible tells us that if we can confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that if we can confess that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead 3 days later, and that because he did that, he gave us victory over sin and death. That's what the Bible teaches. If we can confess that, he says we can enter that rest right now. I love that all the illustrations from the passages today wasn't the champion rode in and did a great job and blah, 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 right? It was the sorrowful were given peace. It was the tired were given rest. Thank you, God, that you are strong in our weakness. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I've never responded to that invitation. I would love to pray that prayer with you today. I've got something that we call a yes packet around here. It's just a couple of tools. It's a Bible to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. But the Bible says that you don't have to bring anything else to the table except your desire for him to touch your life, your desire for him to lead your life. And it's in that leading that we find the rhythms of grace. So if that's you here today, I'd love to meet with you after the service. Love to pray that prayer of faith with you. And if you've already made that decision and you just like prayer for any need in your life, we have a prayer team available for that, okay? So God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. I'd like to close us in prayer and we'll dismiss from there, okay? Father God, in Jesus' name, we have gathered today to be filled with your spirit, to be filled by your grace. And Lord, our desire is to operate in those rhythms of grace. Lord, I pray that you would bring correction to us when we step too far out in our ambition. Lord, I pray that you would also give us the grace and mercy that we know we need every day to be encouraged in the work that you're doing in our lives. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that you would give them key insights to what you're doing in them individually, what you're doing them in this community of faith, and how it is that you want to direct their steps in these days coming forward. And for those of us, Lord, that are tired and weary and need rest, Lord, we trust you to bring rest, to bring fullness, and to fill our tanks once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if God's doing something good in your life, can you give him an applause? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the work that you're doing in our midst. Thank you, Lord. Hey, it's really good being back. Again, don't run out. If you like prayer, I'd love to get the chance to say hi to you. And it's great to be back at North Rock. God bless you. Have a great week, okay?
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.